John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcast. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Welcome to episode number 100 of the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media, and today presented to you by our good friends over at SeatGeek. And today we welcome in the guy who was the first ever co-host on the first ever edition of the Chris Rose Rotation, Trevor May of the New York Mets. You are now number 100. Holy smokes, dude. We made it.
100 episodes. That's... it's impressive. When we talked about doing the show, you know, we 100 is one of those milestones that you hit, and you hope you get there when you first start a show, that it's successful enough to be around that long. So congratulations, man. It's awesome.
Well, congratulations to you. Thank you for being such a big part of it. Let's start with the interesting stuff. I can see in the fuzzy background with your really cool camera, a nice refrigerator. Where are you in Florida?
I am literally like 4 minutes from the stadium, just in Port St. Lucie. So I have not one time opened that fridge. By the way, there's two of them. They're next to each other. You can't see them. This is the weirdest. This is two units, Airbnb. What happened was, when I got here, it turned out that the apartment that we had rented was at the PGA Resort, not at the PGA Golf Club, which are two different places.
Ooh.
So the resort is an hour away.
Oh,
50 miles. In Jupiter. So I arrived, I had to be at the field at 6, and I checked my phone. It was like 12:30 at night. That was travel was a nightmare. When I get there, and I'm like, I talk to my wife, and I'm like, hey, I got to go and get there in 5 hours. Let me check how far exactly I am, because I didn't know exactly where this was. I thought I was here where I am now, but I was actually an hour away. So I checked, and I was like, I can't do this. I got to go to bed 4 hours. It was a tough first four or five days of spring for me.
So wait, you were living like an hour away for the first week?
For the first like 3 days, my agent actually, because we did it through the agency, and Shelby, our person who helps with the leases and stuff, you know, bless her heart, she didn't know that there was two, and I didn't either. So like, but she got on top of this place, found this great place down there. It's all set up like months and months ago, and I get there, and basically my agent's like, you know what, we're getting this Airbnb, it's on me, like just.
Ooh,
closer. Yes, that's what agents are for, guys.
Hold on. They picked up the entire tab
for the Airbnb. Yeah, but
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You know what? My agent took me out to dinner recently, and I think that was about it.
That's well. What we were talking about this other day, Joey Votto said this in an interview. They're like, I heard your agent took you out to like it was like a Michelin star restaurant in the city for the All-Star game. He's like, yeah, it was phenomenal. He's like, and he picked up the tab. He's like, yeah, he picked up the tab. He goes, who paid? And he goes, well, he paid, but I paid. And they're like, he made you pay? And they're like, no, I paid him. And then he used that money to buy me dinner. They're like, oh yeah, good point.
Oh God. In our next lives, we should all come back as agents.
We should. You know? There was a time where my agent was, he's done some good deals recently, and I've given crap about me never paying him again, because I'm not the golden goose, that is for certain.
Oh, who is
one of the big ones? We have
You're
one
not
going to
make
ones.
Me do my homework, are you? Come
no,
on,
it's Mookie. We have Mookie.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're doing great. He's doing great. Everyone's doing great. Everyone's happy. Let's just put it that way. Everyone's happy.
Isn't it great though that like they you know, so Mookie is like, right, the prodigal son,
yes,
$365 million deal.
Had Nelly at his wedding. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
All that. And then, like, here's the two little Mays, like, hi.
Hi.
Holiday party, too. And everybody looks at you like the charity cases.
Hey, look at the reliever. We got one reliever, and that's him. Everyone else is starting pitchers and star right fielders.
Okay. I, you know, one of the many reasons I wanted you as a co-host on this is because you open your eyes to so much more than just the baseball world. But I need to know how much discussion there was about Will Smith and Chris Rock in the clubhouse the next day.
I didn't know.
What? Stop.
No, I didn't know until later, like later that, like the evening after.
The evening after?
I didn't know. Now that was, honestly, it was so well done that it looked scripted.
Right.
I was like, I don't know if anyone's tried to like jokingly slap their friend or something in their life, or like maybe actually slap someone in real life, but it's hard enough doing a high five when you're both aiming. Like, how do you slap someone that smoothly and not like knock them out? Like, he even like had he took it like it was in there, like they're both done in the movie. Or like, oh, well, obviously they have, but it was crazy. I was like, that almost looked scripted, but then it very clearly wasn't. We figured out it very clearly wasn't right after.
How are you? You're so tuned in with social media and everything else. Like, you weren't getting like Oscar alerts or something?
No.
God.
No. I haven't been as tuned in. I've been flying on the radar just a little bit more recently. It's kind of nice, but that was something that I'm kind of mad that I missed immediately. But what a crazy, crazy situation.
Did you guys talk about it at all?
I mean, people were like, wow, like publicly, like just there must have been so much. But like now I'm like empathizing, like there's some emotion attached to this subject, obviously. And it's not even for a professional like Will, couldn't let it fly any longer. So I was like, it's crazy because you're like, he should be able to joke. And people like it's roasting is happening all the time in these things, right? But at the same time, I'm like also like Will sticking up. I mean, I can't hate that either. Not the way to do it.
Okay, now hold on. Did you have a discussion with Kate about this or no?
I did. Yes.
Okay. I want to hear how it went.
That's kind of what we came to. It's like it was hard to find. Obviously, it was handled poorly I think that the situation unfolded by maybe some not so tasteful jokes, followed by not a great reaction, not a great example. But at the same time, emotionally, I've been there both ways, where you're trying to make a joke and someone gets like more offended than you anticipated. And then you're like, then you actually feel really bad. But then you have to continue doing what you were doing. Kind of like Chris Rock's like, I have to keep posting and doing this, even though maybe I went too far there. And I don't know. What a crazy, crazy thing to happen in the biggest award show in the planet.
So Michelle and I were watching together and she was kind of doing some work and I was like, oh my God, did you see that? And she didn't see it originally. So we went back, we watched it. And then we started talking about it. And I said, well, hold on here. I said, would you have looked at me better as a husband if I had done exactly what Will Smith had done? She's like, hell no. She's like, if you wanted to yell from your chair, that would have been good enough for me. And that's what
I said.
No one
wants to see that much, but like, you know that like, it's probably a slow burn. So like the farther they get away from it, the more she's going to appreciate it. I think that's what I think.
I don't know. I don't see what good, if that had been anybody other than Will Smith, they would have escorted him out.
Yeah.
And shame on Hollywood. Like, it's so easy after the fact to sit here and go, well, we don't like violence. And you know, we take this very serious. Really? You take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you?
It also, I think, you got to think about this too. They knew he won an award, and this is after. So like, if we escort him out, it's gonna continue. Like, the situation's gonna continue to be awkward when he wins.
It was awkward when he made that speech.
But yeah, but what I'm like, that they're like, which PR thing should we just get through this and deal with it after, or should we just continue to make it a huge thing right this minute? You know what I mean? Like you just kind of flip a coin. I don't know what the right answer there is. Maybe not slap it. That's probably the right answer,
to be honest. Yeah. All these tough guys that are on Twitter and some baseball guys whom I like and respect are like, well, yeah, that's exactly it. I get it. Like, really? Okay. Just big picture. And this is the last 30 seconds I want to spend on it.
Okay.
She doesn't have cancer. She has alopecia. There's a big difference between the two. Yeah. Yes, could it be emotionally devastating for Jada Pinkett Smith? It could be. I'm not questioning that. But if Will just yells from the chair, then it's Chris Rock who looks like the asshole.
Yeah, it's the same.
But instead, Will Smith looks like one. To me, that's the big deal here. Like, guys, you don't have to. She wasn't in imminent danger, right? It just was stupid.
Yeah, you weren't defending. Yeah, you weren't defending, physical,
right?
Harassment or something in a bar.
Come on.
Right. Like That's very different. That's especially to interrupt and walk up there. Yeah. You made it 90,000 times bigger than it needed to be when you could have handled it off screen.
All right, let's get to some baseball stuff.
Okay.
How was the first meeting with Buck?
Buck's awesome, man. I think Buck is, and to be honest, I didn't know him personally before this, but after just hearing him, the way that, you know, him and the staff and all the guys that came in, and just a real quick sidebar, having Joey Cora around is really, he doesn't know this yet, but how really cool for me and my family, because we were big fans of the Joey Cora Mariner days. So, nice. And he's tiny. I did not know he was that little. it's really, really funny watching him on TV and then like meeting him in person where you're like twice the size of the person. But me and Buck, meeting everybody has been great. I think that they, you know, Buck has been around long enough and he's been in the New York market. And to be honest, he was doing, he kind of said this, and not maybe these explicit terms, but he's just like, you know, I was doing something else that I really liked. And I want to do this again because I think I can make a difference. But this isn't like I have to do a good job or like, you know, they'll move on for, you know what I mean? Like there's a certain pressure that comes along with being here. And like your leash is generally shorter in these markets. You got to win now. And he's in a really good spot to like just handle that, which is awesome. Like that's, I don't see that being a factor in decision making, because it is and it always is in this market. Like you have to factor in the fact where you are, the type of media there is, the number of fans there are, the way that things are handled here is just a little bit different than other places. And he's really well equipped. So that's the first of all, like that's a big, you're like awesome, like it fires you up, because you know, it's very easy to get distracted, and he's just not a guy who gets distracted. So you get that immediately when he's talking and going over stuff. And then one big thing I really loved about not only him, but all the people that are around him now, is the number of times they've asked us for feedback on things. It's like 100 times already, just like, hey, we're going to do this for Bunt Science. Do you want to do something different? There was a thing with how pitchers are going to cover first. Like Max Scherzer, for example, has a very distinct default he does when the ball's hit, like how he covers first and what balls he's going to be able to cover or not, like on a bunt or, you know, like swinging bunt or between first and the mound. And Buck was like, I would like you guys to go get a ball that usually we're not necessarily going to chase for very long, but he's like the no man's land when we want you to be able to get there. And we had a really awesome conversation, like as a group of 20 guys, like discussing how we all think about it, to make it our best chance to work with Pete and make sure that ball is never an issue. And it was just a process that, like, I'm used to kind of just, they're like, hey, we're going to do it this way, guys. You know, obviously use your best judgment. And then, but we came to a conclusion, like as a group, that maybe we need to make an adjustment on how we're going to try to do it, so that we communicate that to Pete. And it was like, it was just, there was a lot of talking and a lot of like getting to a solution. And it involved a lot of players breaking it down as opposed to being dictated what was going to happen. So that was just, that's just kind of been the theme. And for me, that's a really, 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 really great sign of a high functioning group of people that are going to do what it needs to do to win a lot of games.
Did he talk to you at all about expectations?
I have not had my one-on-one yet with him. And that's what's going to happen now. I believe it usually happens about a week, the last week of spring, where they go, hey, like, this is kind of the role we envision out of the pen, like at least from day one. So you're not just like, am I throwing the fifth or the eighth, like going into opening day type of thing. Like what day, when do I need to be ready and stuff. So when we have that, usually expectations come up then. But I think that we're keeping our expectations to internal, setting those standards for ourselves.
All right, hold on. You know that's not it. With what's going on with the moves you guys made, with the winning of the offseason.
Oh, I know there's all kinds of expectations other places.
But that's kind of cool. Like people are
great.
Like, the Mets are a big ass story this year.
Yes, there are a lot of expectations for the Mets. And I'm gonna be honest, there were a lot of expectations for the Mets last year as well. It is different than having Max. The difference is it's more for sure. We made a lot of acquisitions. I think that year two in the Cohen era was definitely open pocketbook for sure. And he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go and I'm I said I'm doing this, I'm doing it. And he did it. And I mean, he still might do it again. There's a chance. There might be someone else. You know, who knows? Mikey C might just appear one day. I don't know. That's not a hot take. That's just what's happening on Twitter. People are saying it. That's all I'm saying. I'm parroting. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Trust me. You guys know everything before I do. We, you know, when we're traded before we do. So don't look into that too much. But yeah, there's a lot of excitement. Excitement is always good. It's very easy to just like, oh, we need to do this. And we got to win 110 games. And you got to just be like, okay, one day, how are we, what are our expectations to ourselves daily so that we can compile wins as opposed to thinking about it all of it at once. That's just how you play baseball. It's just, you can't do more than that and be successful.
Dare I say, because I believe this, the New York Mets are more interesting than the New York Yankees this year.
Sure. They're more interesting to me. I'm on the team. But yeah, I would say that. It just, you know, if I went to Google Trends, maybe the Mets were talked about a little bit more than the Yankees right now. A lot more. I mean, more guys were signed. There's more moves. You know, they got Donald JD and kind of Falefa, but you know, you just having Jake and Max in a rotation. It's we're so pumped. We're also looking like, man, we really hope those two don't line up like Sundays every week, because we're going to be ESPN night games every single week. If they're pitching against the ace of another team, we're going to play. We're that day game. That's a night game. Now we're going to have to fly after. That's how it's going to work. That's how what we think about in the bullpen, because no one cares. Like, we're just like, hey, we're just here. And now we have, you know, now we're going to be tired tomorrow.
You know that Scherzer's first start is against the Nationals, and it's the Friday night Apple game. It's the first game on Apple.
Oh, really?
With that, you know that they signed a deal with Apple. Yes,
more Friday money, night. Yeah, yeah.
So it's the exclusive, so it will not be on SNY.
But it's Friday, and those are night games anyways.
Right.
So
that's
I'm
true.
Cool with it.
That's true, too. Did you know Max Scherzer at all before being his teammate?
Not personally, just played against him a lot. Obviously, he is the way that he is on the mound. That's he's pretty intense when he's doing anything. But it's really great watching him work. And he's just like a little bit, he's no nonsense, and he just loves to play the game, and he's just not worried about all the extra stuff. He just does exactly what he needs to do to stay healthy. And he does not want you to take the ball from him until he gets to 120 pitches, which I love that. I mean,
but
if he,
how about 72 pitches, his first spring training start? Like, everybody around the league was like,
he's been throwing live BP since November. So like, the guy's thrown 50 bullpens before he showed up. So like, yeah, he's ready. He knew he wanted to be ready from day one, and he accomplished that. He could have pitched opening day the first day of spring. Good for him. That's great.
And then last Sunday, I felt bad for those little Cardinals. They start off with DeGrom, and then they get Scherzer out of the bullpen. Like, what a freaking nightmare.
Yeah. Yep. I said, I'm like, Jake, you give up more hits than innings, bro. What's wrong with you? And even though it was three innings, which is always fun with Jake, but you can't really, I don't want to do it too much, because then he'll be like, oh yeah. And then he'll go throw 104 for an outing. Which he's trying not to do. He's just like, you know what? I want to see if I can just have amazing command and sit 98. I'm like, you make me angry every day. but yeah, when I saw that on the board, I'm like, the biggest thing for me, I was like, did they ask you if you wanted to pitch first, or did they ask Max if he was okay pitching second? Like, who got asked first? He goes, oh, I got asked first. They asked me, and I said, yeah, Max can piggyback me. And I thought that was really funny.
Is there a competition between the two that you can see?
I think that I'm guessing a little bit here, but I think that Max has a competition with everyone who's good in his head. I think he's got the Michael Jordan thing going a little bit. Not where he sees slights, but just where he's like, I'm better than that guy. Like, just a little bit. You got to have it. To be as good as he is, you got to find a way to compete and everything. So, but knowing Jake, he's just like, he just knows, man. He just knows. He just knows he's on another planet, I think, just talent wise. So, but you can get him going a bit. So yeah, maybe there's a little competition. I hope there is. Every single team I've been on when I was a starter too, that coming up through the minors and stuff, when we had a bunch of prospects on the team, we'd all try to one up each other, and that made us really good. So you know, you have that in your own staff. And a guy like Taiwan too, and this is understated, Taiwan's a guy who will get in your face if you try to pull him too early. And he's been getting that going a little bit too. And I think that he's sneaky, like, oh yeah, I can throw lots of innings too. So, and I'm like, hey guys, the more often you fight to keep the ball in your hand, I love it. Go for it. It's great.
Okay, baseball season is almost back, and you know what that means. You get a chance to improve your card collection thanks to Topps. In fact, Topps Bunt, it is the official digital trading card of Major League Baseball. It is officially back for the 2022 season. You saw how much fun we had opening the packs digitally on our phone or our iPad or however you do it. We did it out at the John Boy Media Compound in Phoenix, Arizona. I'll tell you, Pete Moylan, he is like the kingpin of the Topps collections. He woke up every day. He's like, Rosie, you open your packet? I'm like, no, dude, just chill. Like, let me have my morning coffee and all that stuff that I'm not supposed to drink and eat. And then I'll get to it. But he was so excited, and you should be as well. So collect and trade your favorite players from across the league with baseball fans all around the world. Like Pete Moylan, he's from Australia. He lives in the States now, but you can make good friends across the globe. You complete sets to earn awards, combine common cards in rarer ones and more, and you bring your card collection to life by setting lineups, using cards in real-time scoring fantasy contests. So you're probably wondering, well, how do I go about doing this thing? For more information, all you have to do is download the free Topps Bunt app, clicking the link in the description or visiting the App Store or Google Play. So who knows? You could end up trading cards with somebody like me or somebody like Pete Moylan. We'll see you soon. So obviously Scherzer was the headliner in terms of offseason acquisitions, but you guys made a lot more than just him. Who's the one guy that people aren't talking about enough that's new in camp where you're like, damn, he can really ball?
I think Canna's going to be a big part of the team just because of how versatile he is and how, like, he's just a really high quality player. I think he does everything pretty good. You know, he runs pretty well. He's got a pretty good arm. He plays a really solid outfield, even though maybe he doesn't have as much range as Marte and Nimmo, but like, yeah, and he'll tell you that, but he does everything within his sphere really, really well. And he executes really well and he gets on base and he's a good hitter. And big thing, I think, especially in our division, is he's a guy like velocity doesn't really matter to him. He's kind of like Jesus Aguilar in that way. Like, the harder a guy throws, the more he wants to try to hit it foul, pull it foul. So see if he can. And so those guys are just really not fun to pitch to. Guys that just are never off fastballs. And he's one of those guys, just if he gets his heater and guys throw their heaters, he's just not going to miss it. So I think he's going to be a big part of the team moving forward, and mixing in with like Dom and kind of having the versatility for DHs and left field, right field, kind of moving guys around, and Eske can play the whole infield. We have a lot of flexibility, mm-hmm. and a really quality player, and Eske can hit from both sides. So it's like, we got a lot of options and our lineup can be very, very different from day to day in and day out. Kind of like the Giants were last year. Like they did the whole line change when relievers came in. I think that is kind of getting in vogue a little bit, having a lot of those guys who put together quality at bats and are able to like draw walks and come in, pinch hit, and still make something happen, even if it's not like bang, like get on base and stuff. We got a lot of those guys. So barring injuries, we're in place. But I think Canna's going to be a big reason for a successful season.
One guy who is back this year is Robinson Cano. I read that he made an apology to the team. How did that go?
I'm going to be honest. That was the day that I had to miss because I got trapped in Dallas for a day.
Oh.
So the day he apologized, I was flying to Detroit during the apology.
Detroit's north of Florida and
yeah,
north
yeah.
of Dallas.
Not a lot of options, Chris. Not a lot of options. not a lot of options from Dallas to Fort Lauderdale on the day where every single flight got canceled. And so I had to take a sneak into one of them. From what I've heard, it went really well. And you know, I've been in those situations where guys were coming and kind of just, you know, giving context for like, this is what happened, this is why, and This isn't, you know, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to let your teammates down. I think that it comes down to it. Like, nobody wants to let their teammates down, no matter what's going on with themselves on their own side, whether they feel like they need to do something extra to compete at a high level still, or they need, you know what I mean? They don't intend to let teammates down. So that was, from what I heard, the main theme. And, you know, we had Marwin come and talk to us after the Astros thing came out in 2022. So 2020 as well. So, and his was very, you know, like, we got past it very quickly when that happened. So it's better to do that than just be like, tiptoe around it for the next, you know, X amount of time. And it's, I think it's always good just to kind of meet those things head on and move on.
I think we as fans hang on to that a lot longer than you guys 100%. As ball players.
We can't afford to, man. Like, we just, there's a lot of things that you just can't, like, even if it's never, you don't fully truly feel like it's ever like completely resolved or like addressed. You just got to move. Like, you just got to, you just got to grind through it. That's what we do. We just grind day in and day out and find a way to be in the same room together and just be copacetic as much as you can and try to win baseball games so that you're not, you just can't hang on to that stuff. You're just together too long, too much.
So if Carlos Correa, because he went to your old team now, Minnesota Twins, you know, I imagine the same sort of thing would have had to happen with him. Like, yeah. Or would you have, I mean, did you pull Marwin Gonzalez aside one-on-one when he came up there?
No, I Marwin and I, you know, I don't think that was quite a, that wasn't like a thing that me and him would do. But he, Marwin's a really smart guy and he's really honest and like genuine. So it came across really clearly. You know, it felt very, very like, he's like, hey, it got out of hand. Like, it was one of those things, like, you know, we're all out here just trying to win. And then you look back 3 months later and you're like, what happened? How did we get here? And that, I know that a lot of guys said that kind of that same type of thing. So, you know, Carlos Beltran, when he was there too, also was like, you know, it goes from like, you're trying to pick up tips to like, oh, we have these other options. And then before you know it, you're doing something that's working so well that you can't, you know what I mean? And I get that, but it doesn't excuse it at all. But it was one of those, I can understand how a group of people could do it for that long together without anything changing.
I always wonder if like, they'll always be well respected and honored in Houston, and you know, when it's the year 2027, they'll have their 10-year reunion, all that sort of stuff. But I'm always curious if those guys ever wear their rings out.
Probably not.
If they could,
depends
ever
on where. They think about it. I think the big thing is they probably, all the other World Series winners ever, they don't think about it. Throw it
not
on.
One second. Wear and it. Now,
I think that there's a little bit more thinking happening, probably.
Yeah. Be interesting.
I mean, some of them might not at all. Some of them might not care at all, but I don't know. So,
last week was big news in New York City where there's no more mandatory vaccine in order for athletes to go to work. And entertainers to do their thing. Obviously, the big news was Kyrie Irving getting to play for the Brooklyn Nets, but this is huge news for your team in particular as well, because it's been well known that you guys have, if not the lowest vaccination rate, one of the lowest.
Yeah.
Were you worried that a bunch of guys were not going to be able to play this year?
I was, because when it comes to government stuff, like, we tend to live in our own little world a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But that's like, we don't have much, you know, we don't have much pull when it comes to taxes. So we're not going to have much pull when it comes to, you know, vaccine mandates. So I was just like, there's two trains on the tracks going at each other and nobody's moving. And, you know, me, it wasn't going to affect me, but like, I just was like, hey guys, if we have to like taxi squad and like, now I'm, you know, we got starters that are throwing three innings and we're piggybacking guys and bullpen guys are throwing more innings, I'm not going to be very happy with you. I just want you to know that. I know it's ha-ha funny. What are we going to do? Ha-ha. But, like, let's figure it out, please. Fortunately, you know, and especially we work outside and it logically, come on, right? But at the same time, like, I totally understand, like, you got to draw a line in the sand and you can't just public, especially super public figures. You can't just be like, you guys are good, but everyone else isn't. Like, because that doesn't, now it's not effective. So I totally understand both sides. It's just someone had to give. But I think that, you know, I believe the Yankees were going to lose some of the big guys too. So,
oh yeah,
you couldn't let every major athlete in the city not play.
Right. It just never made sense that they'd allow visiting players, but not home players.
That also didn't make sense. We had this in 2022 where like we were going city to city and playing. And then at the end, the MLB was like, hey, for the last week, we're going to put you guys in a bubble. Well, now, why? Just to make sure we got the playoffs in. Right. So
right.
It was like, that doesn't make any, like, just, you know, I get it. It's an optics thing, but can we just do the logical thing, please?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Once ever.
I'm sure the logical thing is going to work. Do you guys play? I didn't even notice. Do you guys play in Toronto this year?
No, we don't play.
Well, you don't have to deal with that.
We play the West. Yeah.
That's going to be really interesting when guys are not there and, you know, you're not supposed to be able to talk about medical issues. And I guess not getting a vaccine is a medical issue, but it's going to be really interesting when guys are not showing up for series up there.
It's so frustrating. And there was like, and we're talking about, I don't know, there was something, a memo came back from them. We'll be like, hey, you can have pay or you can have service time. You can't have both. And we're like,
what?
That, I mean, that was talked about. Honestly, I don't know where that's at now. It might be just completely gone, but that was mentioned at some point. And I had to go somewhere. I couldn't even address it.
So wait, what you're saying is that if your team's playing in Toronto,
yeah, and
but you are not eligible to play because you didn't get the vaccine, you have a choice.
We're figuring out if that just, it counts as you being on the DL and everything's fine, or if you're going to lose, there's got to be some consequence to not going. But I will, again, disclaimer, I don't know actually what's been officially, I don't want to create some, a bunch of drama about something that's actually not going to happen, but that was a discussion that was happening. And I had to kind of roll my eyes back. We don't even need to discuss this. Just you get your, it's 3 days, man. Just give the service time. And like, we don't need to, this doesn't need to be in there to fight about again. Like, we don't need to fight about this thing. Like, it's the government that's doing it. Why does there need to be an additional consequence?
Right.
You know what I mean? So anyway,
right,
that might not even be a thing right now.
So, I've kind of buried the headline here. Where is Donnie?
Where's Donnie? Donnie's at home.
Back in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, with mom and her sister Elsie. They didn't come down. We didn't have time. And to be honest, if they were with me, it would have been 10 times worse, that nightmare that I had. Like, having two cats, getting into a hotel room where they definitely weren't going to allow animals, and finding a litter box. Oh, it would have been at 1 a.m. Oh, no shot. We would have had to put like just a tarp on the, or like a plastic bag on the ground with some sand or something. I have no idea what we would have done. I don't know if they would have been able to go to the bathroom.
Oh God.
Just pee in the crates.
So the last couple of days we had a commercial shot in the house. We were out. Oh. It was with cats.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
What happened?
It never happened. Hold on. Oh no. My camera died. Wow.
For those of you joining us audio only, I am getting on our picture, no signal. Check if cables are properly and securely connected. Number two, input source devices on. Trevor May, the most technical player,
this
technically sound player
in the history of, okay, we might just need to power through this, give it 5 minutes to catch up on charge. I think what happened was it died and I wiggled the thing around and it just wasn't fully charged up. I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Well, so we're just going to have to put a beautiful still picture of Trevor May up there on the YouTube side of things.
We've had to do this once on my podcast. So
we'll power through. So yeah, we had cats around the house. There were like a dozen cats here. And apparently the trainers are mean as shit too.
Really?
Oh yeah. Like, they're constantly yelling at the crew, like, do not look at the cat that way.
Is this a secret, like, commercial? Like, what the hell was this for?
No, I think it was just for an ad for, like, Purina or something. You know,
why
we rent your
house
out.
Do you have, like, an amazing house for commercials?
It's a nice house. We had the Property Brothers here last week.
What's happening? Are you just like on a picturesque hill or something?
No, like, no. It's just a nice, simple, very open floor plan house.
How do you even get in a list for that?
Like, it's interesting. So yes, you can. There are agencies which will put your house up on a website, and you know they're shooting commercials or promos, or you know, if you really get lucky, a movie scene, or you know, we've seen all that sort of stuff. And there's a bunch of houses on our street that are used for this sort of stuff.
Oh, interesting. Does that pay good?
It pays.
My house is pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you never notice little things that are wrong, like a nick in the floor or on the corner of a doorway or something, because you just never notice it, right? You're just walking around every day. We came back last night and I was like, what is that? And Michelle is down on the floor, like putting her finger over our nice wooden floor. She's like, that's a nick, but I don't know what it was caused by. Was it caused by the Property Brothers shoot or the cat shoot? I'm like, or maybe we did it. She's like, shush, you shut your mouth. So it's very strange.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. So there you go. We've shot three commercials in our career, and two have been with the Property Brother. And Michelle's like, well, did they like our house? I'm like, I don't know if they liked our house. Like, what are they?
Well, what I wonder was in the commercial, were they acting like they were working in your house? Because that seemed kind of.
So I think it was just a promo for HGTV.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I don't think it was anything that they were, you know. Are you an HGTV guy?
I was. My mom loves HGTV, so I was just like pop in. Actually, Kate kind of likes it a little bit too sometimes. So
yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's fine. There's always some interesting stuff that'll pop up there. Speaking of housing, have you found a place for the season?
I have. We found a place kind of by where everyone else lives, over in Long Island City. That's kind of a good popular destination. It's like between Brooklyn and Queens, which is nice. So there's a lot of good restaurants and stuff, but it's not in the city either. It's on the other side, so you don't have to cross the bridge. Just don't, if you're going to play in the New York area, guys, just don't put a bridge between you and the stadium and you'll be good. You'll avoid those hour and a half days when it should be 20 minutes, I think.
So you'll drive to the stadium every day. You won't take the train, right?
No. No, drive.
You scoffed at me.
No, you don't get on the train. Kidding me?
Well, some people love it.
Oh, God.
What's going on?
Yeah, we did it.
We're back.
Hopefully it doesn't die again.
Oh, my gosh. That's an extreme close-up of your face. By the way, you got a good shave today. That was good.
Oh, yeah, I definitely shaved in the last 4 days.
Holy smokes. All right, couple other things. How are you, like, are you ready for the season? We're basically a week out here. And, you know, I know we talked in the off season, you didn't know exactly when to ramp up because of negotiations, all that sort of stuff. Are you going to be ready to go full bore, or do they have to kind of slowly walk you into the season?
As close to full bore as possible. There's no, let's just put it this way. There's no like actively taking it easy. I think the one thing's going to happen is just like velocity, movement. I mean, command's going to be a work in progress. I think everybody's going to be. You know what?
I will say
so
that.
So angry. We're just going to leave it. Okay. This is just unacceptable.
See, the problem is your battery didn't build up enough stamina in the off season. So it's already exhausted just, you know, 37 minutes into a conversation.
Yeah. It's always plugged into. I don't know what's going on. So ramping up, I feel good stuff. I mean, I think I got velo almost to where it is normally already the other day. The thing that's going to be interesting is like recovering. You got to get in shape to recover quickly. So like the frequency of pitching will be probably a little bit more spread out, at least for the first week or two, as it would be at the end of spring. So you're going to try to go every other day. Like I'm going to try to get at least one like pitch day off pitch before we go, possibly like a pitch, like pretty heavy bullpen the next day, as in to get like a back-to-back. Just there's not enough games. Like we just don't have enough time to get a back-to-back in. So it might be a week or two before you see any pitcher throw back-to-back just at the beginning, at least for us, just because it's not worth like getting a guy hurt just because they didn't have. So I'm going to have five appearances. I've had two. I'm going to get three in the next 6-7 days.
Oh.
And then take a couple of days off and just go right in. But in terms of like, are you going to be ready? I just kind of answer it like this. I don't really have a choice, never really do have a choice in anything. So I'm just going to say, yes, yes, I will be ready. Ready in quotation marks, whatever ready means at that point, it's going to have to be good enough.
Where do you guys open up? I don't even know.
DC.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
We'll get rained out probably opening day.
Yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah, that'll be fun. All right. Let's spin the wheel of moderately interesting things so you can go charge your camera battery. All right. But you'll be happy to know that for the 100th episode, there are 5 new categories.
Yay.
Wow. Feigned enthusiasm. We can't do this one.
What's it saying? You can't see me.
It says the small screen. Uh-huh. And what that is what is the photo that is on your iPhone? Unless you want to send it.
Not even interesting. Yeah, spin it again. Spin it again.
You don't like that one?
Out of a word.
All right. All right, small screen. All right, you have a choice of either feeling good or meet and greet.
Meet and greet.
Meet and greet it is. How did you and your bride meet?
I met Kate. There are things in college called fraternities called grab-a-dates. So I was spending a couple weeks up with my buddy at University of Washington when I was 20, just turned 21. My girlfriend had broke up with me for about a month before that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going up to Seattle. I'm going to hang out because I was in my hometown living with my parents still at the time. And I was like, I'm going to go up to Seattle and hang out with my friends. So basically, I was an honorary member of their fraternity. I stayed there all the time. I like stayed with him, but like I lived in the fraternity and then eventually moved into my own room. They like honorary. I had to leave on Mondays when they did their, their secret meeting, whatever. It's just part of fraternities. They have a meeting every Monday and I had to leave the building. There had no non-members are available or are allowed in. So I'd have to go get dinner or something for 2 hours. I met her because they did a grab-a-date. All the pledges, the young guys, the freshmen, they say, hey, go to the sororities and see if anyone is around Halloween. And they do a thing called Halloween at UW because everyone lives kind of close. So they do their gatherings, their like social events during the week as opposed on the weekend, like most colleges do. So they do it. They build up to Halloween's on like Thursday. So they did grab-a-date where they did pumpkin carving. So like you have to find a date, someone to go make a new friend. Go to the sororities. This is how we make you guys go get out of your comfort zone. So we were walking door to door. Then some of them knew some of the pledges knew some people already from some specific sororities. And we went to ZTA, which is Kate's sorority. The fourth one we went to, everyone else turned us down. So we got there and fortunately someone we knew opened the door and she was all excited. She had nothing to do. So it worked out. And then she went and asked some of their freshmen, hey, did any of you want to go to this? And Kate was like, oh, please, I don't want to do homework anymore. So she came to the door and that's when I first met her. And then we carved a pumpkin. It was terrible. Then later that week we did a beer. There was a beer pong tournament as you do in college. And I invited her to that. And I'll remember she told me her last name about 48 times. I could not hear her. And her maiden name is Borgnes. It's Norwegian. And there's like 3 Borgneses in the world.
Wait, what is it?
Borgnes, Borgnes.
Borgnes.
Yeah, one of the hardest to hear and pronounce. So I had to ask her friends what her name was so I could add her on Facebook. That's how I didn't get her number first. I added her on Facebook first. Then
you knew pretty quickly. You were like,
I was very interested, and she turned out to be pretty interested. And we started dating on New Year's or the day before New Year's that year. And I was leaving for spring in 2 months, and she was cool with it. And we made a plan 2.5 months into our relationship to go to Paris the next offseason in December. So we made a plan 9 months in the future after been dating for 3, and we didn't think about it at the time, but now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, we kind of knew, didn't we?
Wow.
We kind of did. That's a bold move.
Really bold. So were you in the Phillies organization at this point or had you been traded?
Yes, I was in the Phillies organization the next off maybe it was two off seasons later. So we were a year and a half in our relationship when I got traded.
Okay. That's a good story. I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's exactly when we
frat party.
Yeah. That's it. What frat was it?
Phi Kappa Sigma.
Okay.
Phi Caps. They have, they're known as Phi Pools because they have a pool. They're like one of the two, two frats with a pool.
I love very it small. that you were like an honorary member who had his.
I'll be honest. Turnout was a little bit low that year for the old. It was a very tight knit group of guys. Not a big fraternity. Not a big. A lot of open rooms. So
got it.
I got the worst one.
Are you still buddies with any of those guys?
Oh, they're all still great friends. We had a housewarming party, and I think like 10 guys from that house all came this off season. So
how cool is that?
Yeah, we're all. My best friend was in there. My other that best friend actually moved to, he moved to San Diego a while back, but the guys I met there now are my really close friends that I see all the time. So pretty much everyone that I hang out with was in that frat.
That is a phenomenal story.
Yeah.
I'm on board. Do you want to hear how Michelle and I met?
Absolutely.
Okay. First on-air TV job in Reno, Nevada. I was working for the NBC affiliate, News 4. Michelle had just moved up there probably 9 months earlier. She was a teacher. But in Los Angeles, they were only looking for bilingual and special ed, and she was neither. So she wasn't allowed to go away to college. So she moved up to Reno, where her mom's best friend had lived. She ended up working at a preschool up there, or I think she was a kindergarten teacher up there. But her sister and I worked at the same TV station. Her sister, Denise, who asked me, "Are you single?" It was after a month that I had gotten there. I'm like, "Oh boy." She's like, "It's not for me. It's for my sister." I was like, "Okay." Showed me a picture. And I was like, "Wow, she's really cute." We ended up meeting on a Friday night at a bar called Chewies and Jugs after my Friday night high school football show. And I remember walking in with a good buddy of mine named Kevin Mahan, who was our videographer. And I turned to him and I said, "God, I hope that's her." And it was her. So we hit it off. And that was that. That was 27 years ago.
So were you like, "Hey, great to meet you. Can you meet us at Chewies and Jugs?"
Yeah, it was a fun bar for everybody.
Everyone knew. Yeah, it was one of those it's a weird name for me to hear, but like everyone else around knew about it. So it was weird. Yeah.
So the better part was the next night, it was a Saturday. And I was anchoring the coverage. And back then we didn't have cell phones. So she called the station phone and I picked it up and she's like, "It's Michelle." And I was like, "Oh," she was out at a casino. She's a little tipsy. She's like, "What are you doing later?" I was like, "Oh, well, I've got the newscast till 11:30, but then I'm out." So I went over to her place and we hung out. Her sister comes home at like 1 a.m. We're just sitting around talking and she goes, "What the fuck are you doing here?" I was like, "Remember you introduced us. So step off, lady."
That's funny. How old were you when you met?
I was 24.
Wow.
24. I got married at 26 and I was a dad at 29.
So that works. That's a pretty good trajectory right there. I'm behind you there, but
no, don't worry about being behind. Things have changed.
And I have been together for 11.
Yeah.
So we were at a wedding this off season and they did the anniversaries dance and they're like, "All right, if you've been together for 1 year or married for 1 year, and
right,
you sit down." And then in the 3 years, we're still out there. 5 years, we're still out there. We look around, every one of our friends that we're there for, including the people who got married, they're 32. So like we're just now getting everyone married in the early 30s. It's
right,
a very progressive group of people. And we look around and it's us and just a bunch, everyone's parents. It's us and everyone's parents, all the aunts and uncles. So we're the only ones even younger than 58 out there. And then they're like, "All right, 10 years, we gotta go sit down. We're proud of it, but we're also like, we don't want to be there yet."
No, but listen, whatever it is, everybody's got their own path. We've got 25 years coming up this September. So
it's going to be a good one. You guys going to go to a movie and dinner?
Yeah, well, we're actually about to celebrate here. We're going to break it up into like several trips this year, several short trips instead of a long one, because when we still have one in high school, we don't want to go for like
two. Short trips are better anyways. They just are.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I would much rather just do like weekend things than.
Totally. Yeah, we're going to take a nice 4-dayer coming up right at the beginning of the baseball season.
Cool.
And I cannot wait.
Have fun. Be awesome.
except my dad bod is out of control right now, but that's another story. Thank you, as always, for giving us some time here today. I wish you the best of luck at the start of your season.
Of course.
And we will catch up somewhere down the road once you are in your palatial estate up there in the New York area, or maybe on a road trip. And I'll buy you a new battery to charge for your camera.
It's fine. It just got jostled at some point. You should see this setup. I don't care at all about this being efficiently hooked up. It is just a nightmare here. But you know what? This is never want to see this place again, so I don't really care.
Perfect. Perfect. I can't wait to see what sort of like cartoon picture we put up of Trevor May over the last 15 minutes of the podcast.
Sure, it'll be great.
You're going to have to check it out. I'm sure Robbie will come up with something special. As he always does. Speaking of, shout out to our producer extraordinaire, the one and only Robbie Scirocco. For Trevor May of the New York Mets, I am Chris Rose. We will see you next time here on the Chris Rose Rotation, a production of John Boy Media.